When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to another Arse Blog Arsecast here on arseblog.olayolay.com. It's another Friday, it is another Arsecast, and we've got lots to do between now and the end of this particular show. Coming up between now and the end, we'll be looking back on all things football. We'll be looking back at the Sunderland game. We'll be looking back on the Roma game. And we'll be looking ahead to the Fulham game coming up tomorrow. A game we simply have to win. Much like many other games this season that we've simply had to win, but simply haven't won. But we're hoping that will turn around, and that's something we'll be discussing later on. We've got Arsene Wenger Hawkins. George will be here. Whether or not it's in a Tales of the Unexpected capacity or not remains to be seen. We'll have the Adventures of Thomas Rosicki and a blog chat with an Arsenal blogger we've never spoken to before. We have gone far and wide this week. We've stayed pretty close to home in terms of the bloggers and the people that we've spoken to. Now we're going to the other side of the world, basically. I'll tell you all about that in a little while. So the football, well, since the last Arsecast, well, Sunderland, positives from the Sunderland game. We saw Arshavin make his debut. He looked quite good, obviously not fit enough really yet. But he looks like he wants to shoot. He flashed one shot just wide. Another one was saved well by the keeper. And he's a busy little guy. He's tiny though, isn't he? I think it was the second half he was coming out for. And he was chatting away with Bentner. And it was literally like watching a guy standing beside a dwarf. I know Bentner's tall and everything. But, you know, he's teeny tiny. Well, he could get through defender's legs and what have you. But that was a positive. And the other positive was, let me think about this. There wasn't really another positive, only that we managed to claw one point back on Aston Villa. And that's looking at it on a very basic level, because it was 2 points that we dropped in the clawback. We could have got three and should have got 3 points back on them after they were beaten by Chelsea, and the team knew that. So it really was very frustrating. A poor performance, really. Lacking any kind of urgency, and it's not a case that they weren't trying, really. It just didn't happen. And there were criticisms, obviously, of how Sunderland approached the game, which we'll discuss a bit later with our blog chat, but it was a hugely disappointing result. Another draw, another game without a goal, and it makes the goal of finishing in the top four that little bit more difficult. So it's easy to understand fans' frustrations. Then, of course, we have a Champions League game against Roma. And on the back of the Sunderland game, you're thinking, oh, you know what? Maybe this isn't going to be so good. You know, Roma, they're a good quality Italian side, and, you know, we're not playing very well. But we should never underestimate this team's ability to raise themselves for what is a big game. And they played very, very well, I thought. Now, you might say Roma were shit. You can say that if you want, but nevertheless, we still have to play well, and perhaps the fact that we played well contributed to Roma's shitness. We won 1-0, Robin van Persie scoring a penalty. We had lots of chances, lots of opportunities on goal. We had Almunia to make a save when it was needed. But obviously, we had two gilt-edged chances, which had one of them gone in. Well, you see, here's the thing, right? If Bentner had scored his, Eboué's chance wouldn't have happened. Because just by I don't know what law it is, the law of physics or whatever, instead of starting with a goal kick, as Roma did, they would have started with a kickoff from the centre circle. So that the whole passage of play is like going back in time. Flux capacitor. You just change the way things happen. So if Bentner had scored his, Eboué's chance wouldn't have happened. So it's unfair to say if we'd scored those two, we'd have been three up going into the second leg. Because if we'd scored Bentner's, Eboué's chance wouldn't have happened. Just simply wouldn't. You can't say that it would. We might have created other chances, but not Eboué's one specifically in exactly that way. So, anyway, I'm straying off the point a little bit here. But those two guys had chances that you would really expect footballers to score. Footballers at top clubs should score those chances. They didn't. However, 1-0 is a reasonable result, and a goal away from home puts us in a very, very strong position. And the most important thing of all, as I said on the blog, I think, is that we didn't concede a goal. I think they were trotting out some kind of statistic on ITV the other night when they were doing the game, and they said that in 6 knockout games, when we haven't conceded in the first leg, we've gone through. And the 2 times that we have conceded, we've gone out. An away goal, that might be, you see. So we've reasons to be encouraged. There's no reason why we can't go to Rome and play the same way. We might have other players back. We might have Walcott back. We might have Eduardo back. The formation was interesting. In the way he set up with Nasri behind Van Persie and Bentner out on the left. Now, Bentner isn't any kind of a left-sided midfielder, but he worked very hard and did a decent night's work out there. But as was pointed out, as I said in the blog, Gilberto Silva was sort of saying, well, imagine this formation with Eduardo and Arshavin, or Walcott and Arshavin, or Rosicki and Walcott, and bring Cesc into the equation then. And then you've got Adebayor in the equation. And all of a sudden it looks a bit better. Abu Diaby was a big, big positive in central midfield. I think it's easy to look at Diaby and say that he is an improvement on Alex Song. I don't mean to slag off Song. I just mean that Diaby is a better player than him. Of course, the problem with Diaby is that, you know, he's injured pretty much all the time. And he's going to miss a game on Saturday, but we'll come back to that in a little bit. So, the main feeling, I suppose, is one that lurched from disappointment to happiness. And now I'm afraid, kind of. Because tomorrow's game, how many times can you say it's a crucial game? It's an important game. We have to take 3 points. We have to get ourselves going in the league. How many times can you say it and then watch them not capitalize or not take advantage by beating teams that they should beat? Someone needs to tell them tomorrow that Fulham are Real Madrid and we'll beat them 3-0. But when they think Fulham are Fulham or Sunderland are Sunderland, that's where we seem to be getting these problems. So I'm hopeful, though, that we won't experience the same kind of disappointment after the Sunderland game. Because, make no mistake, we've got to start winning games in the league and fast. Because they're running out. And we need to more or less take maximum points from those games. And remember, we still have to play Chelsea. We still have to play Liverpool. We still have to play Man United. 2 of those games away from home. So, yeah. There's a lot of football to play and a lot of work to do if you want to get into those top 4 places. Anyway, we'll leave that there for the moment. We'll come back to football in a little bit. Now, normally when we have a blog chat, we talk to bloggers, and most of them are UK-based or Ireland-based or what have you. But there are, of course, Arsenal fans all over the world. I think there might be some in Luxembourg, and there's some in Spain, maybe, and there are some Arsenal fans in Australia. And one of those who has a blog is Spanish Fry from Arsenal FC blog. Hello there.
Hey, how you going?
I'm good, thanks very much. Now, obviously you're in Brisbane, where the weather is much better than here, so that's one black mark against you. The good thing about you, I suppose, is that you're an Arsenal fan. What was it that made you become an Arsenal fan and not a cunt?
I started watching football after the World Cup in 1998, and I was a big fan of the Dutch team and Dennis Bergkamp, so I just went where where he was playing and then stuck there pretty much.
Alrighty, inspired by God himself.
Exactly, yes.
And you get a huge amount of football over there on the telly. Was it?
Yeah, if you pay for it, eh?
Well, yeah, well, this is same as anywhere, same as anywhere.
Yeah.
There is no paradise when it comes to watching football on TV. But is there much of an Arsenal community in Brisbane? Because that's where you are. I know there's you know, people in Sydney and there's clubs and what have you in Sydney. Is there much of a supporters group in Brisbane?
It's relatively small at this stage. It's growing a little bit. There's a local pub in the city, the Pig and Whistle, who do games and things like that. But it's pretty small. We're trying to get that sort of thing happening through the official supporters groups and that. But, yeah, it's quite small at this stage.
All right. So what's the name of the pub again?
The Pig and Whistle at Riverside in the city. Yeah, Brisbane.
All right. Okay. Well, there you go. If there's any more Brisbane Arsenal fans, that's where people will be. As frustrating as watching Arsenal can be at times, we don't have to we don't have to get up at 4 in the morning to watch a Champions League game or stay up till 1 o'clock in the morning to watch a league game. Obviously, maybe it's a bit different when you don't know any better. I don't mean don't know any better, but that's the way you're used to watching football.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It must surely be a bit of a pain in the ass getting up some nights and watching some of this stuff.
It is when things don't go well. It can be a little frustrating, especially late night games if you make a bit of a night of it and the night ends pretty badly. So yeah, I can see what you're saying.
Yeah, some good fights on the way home then.
Definitely.
All right.
Well, depends how drunk you are. You know?
Yeah. I know exactly. let's talk about football then. We've had a couple of games since the last Arscast. The Sunderland game was a real disappointment because it's the sort of game that has frustrated us all season long. Mm-hmm. Against a so-called lesser team. We just didn't perform. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, there was a bit of a negative reaction on most of the blogs to the game, mostly from the midfield. I thought we started pretty well. We had opportunities, and then when we didn't take them early, we had some good ones. The pressure started to mount. Sunderland sat back, didn't really try to attack us. And then, yeah, we got stuck in that sort of mindset where it was very difficult to break them down at the back. So, yeah, it was very similar to a lot of the games we've had recently.
What do you think of the manager's, not so much complaints, because afterwards he does say, you know, we've got to be the team that's going to break these down. But again, he's sort of critical of teams that just come and park the bus, so to speak. But I can remember clearly in that game Sunderland having one or two quite good chances and Almunia having to make some saves.
Yeah, especially in the first half hour. We looked like there was a big gap in the middle of the park just in front of the defence, and they were coming at us pretty frequently on the break. So, yeah, I mean, they didn't come out to park the bus or whatever straight from the off, but the game sort of went like that. When you do hear Wenger talking about that, it is disappointing. It's obvious that he's frustrated after games and things like that, but yeah, it's disappointing to hear that because it's up to him to find a way to sort of counter that, and he's really struggling to do that at the moment.
All right, and then we go from that kind of disappointment to a game against Roma, who on paper and actually in real life are a better team than Sunderland. We won 1-0. We could have won by 2 or 3. I mean, any theories on the differences in performance? Is this a team that can really only motivate itself for big games?
It seems a bit like that at the moment. I think things are getting a little more consistent in the league, but I don't know. Like, the players seem to just get up for the big games a little bit more easily. I think specifically with the Roma game, the Italian teams will always sort of sit really far back on their away games, and they often play quite poorly and that sort of thing, and it's sometimes easy for the home teams to look good against them. So it's a tough one.
We had opportunities to score goals. Two of them were missed. Bentner and Abue, I suppose, guilty of quite poor misses. It would have been a different story going to Rome 2 or 3 goals up. But what do you make of our overall position?
I think if we had one more goal, I think the tie's pretty much over. But 1-0 is pretty good. I think most people would have taken that before the game. We go there with them scoring no away goals, so I think it'll make things a lot easier in terms of we can sort of sit back, which can be a strength of ours if we do sit back and hit them on the break with that sort of 4-5-1. And it means they've got to come and score, and if we score, then they've got to score three. So I think we're pretty well placed. I think if we had got one more goal, you'd pretty much almost call the tie over. But it's a little bit up in the air at this stage.
All right. Now, Fulham is a team that beat us at the start of the season, and it was one of those performances that became emblematic almost of our season. Defensive error, let the goal go in, and we just struggled, huffed and puffed, to try and break them down. Again, we go into this with this kind of mindset that this is a team we should be beating. We're at home, but how much do you fear a repeat of what happened against Sunderland?
Look, I think it's hard to say. You go into all these sort of games hoping that it's going to be a bit different. I'm an optimistic sort of supporter, so I think we'll play better than, well, not necessarily play better, but we'll attack a little bit better against Fulham than we did against Sunderland. It really depends on what happens early in the game. If we manage to get a goal and Fulham are sitting back, then they'll have to do something about that. I am confident that we can go there and score a few goals, so even though that's been quite difficult of late.
Alrighty, okay. Well, look, we'll leave it there, and hopefully your optimistic prediction will come through. Spanish Fry from arsenalfcblog.com, thank you very much.
No problem. I'll talk to you again.
Thank you very much to Spanish Fry from arsenalfcblog.com. Do go check it out. Now, before we start looking at finances and figures and all that kind of stuff, here, courtesy of Red Leroy, are the adventures of Thomas Rosicki.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hello, Mr. Rosicki. How are we? One moment, I'll be right with you. 45 and 15. Yeah. Now, what can I get you?
I would like one jar of pickled herrings.
Oh, sorry, Mr. Rosicki. They're on order. 3 or 4 weeks, I'm afraid.
Okay. I would like 3 cans of potato soup.
Sorry, Mr. Rosicki. That's on order, too. Should be 3 or 4 weeks, I'm afraid.
Oh, okay.
Hello, Mr. Eduardo. Good to see you. Yes, I have those items you were looking for. Let me just deal with Mr. Rosicki here. Anything else I can help you with, Mr. Rosicki?
1 can of Diet Cola.
Sorry, Mr. Rosicki. 3 or 4 weeks. There, Mr. Rosicki.
Oh.
And, of course, Thomas Rosicki will be back in action for Arsenal in about 3 to 4 weeks. Now, Arsenal released their half-yearly financial report yesterday. All kinds of interesting and good-looking figures in it, such as profit before tax, up $4.5 million to $24.5 million. Matchday turnover increased by $3.3 million. Broadcasting revenues up $4.5 million. Overall profit up over half a million. And sales being made in Highbury Square. 186 apartments have been completed to a value of £76.7 million. However, the club say there is some backlog of Highbury Square completions because of the various market forces that are going on out there. The receipt of part of the sales proceeds over a longer term than originally expected means there is a probable need to extend the term of the Highbury Square bank loan, and discussions with the banking syndicate are at a preliminary stage. So quite exactly what that means, I'm not sure, because I'm no financial expert. I did want to get the AST on to have a bit of a chat about that, because they do know their sums inside out and back to front, but they needed a bit more time in order to digest the results that were given and what they might mean and the implications of them. So hopefully we'll get them on next week's Arscast, or if it merits it, we might do a little special Arscast in midweek to look at those figures a bit more. What is clear, though, is that when times are tight and when money is a bit tight in property, and so much of our income and loans, etc., are tied up in property, that for us to lose money and lose out on the money that you would get from qualifying for the Champions League, while the clubs say they can survive, and I know we've spoken about the football aspects of this because there are football implications as well, financially it would be a big, big problem, I think, for us. And quite how many years we've budgeted for to finish outside the top four, or outside the Champions League, I'm not sure. Maybe we can survive 1 year. But it does affect things overall. And, you know, you look at the Sunderland game on Saturday, and, you know, you could see empty seats. And even during the Roma game, there were empty seats. And without Champions League football, you do wonder. You do wonder how many of those empty seats will remain empty and get emptier. Well, the seats themselves won't get any emptier. So it just makes it so crucial that we finish well between now and the end of the season. So there you go. That's the financial stuff. And we'll come back to other stuff now shortly. Now, there is a game on Sunday, not involving Arsenal, of course, involving Tottenham and Manchester United, the Carling Cup final. And in light of that, George decided he would call up Spurs. Seriously.
Hotspur ticket membership hotline. Tickets for tonight's match, the UEFA Cup against Shakhtar Donetsk, remain on general sale. However, at this stage, tickets can be purchased in person from the Paxton Road ticket office or from cash turnstiles, which will open this evening in the north and east stands. Tickets are now on general sale for our home match against West Ham United, and tickets are on sale to Lily White and Bronze One Hotspur members only for our home match with Newcastle United. Tickets for our FA Youth Cup against Arsenal.
Press 3 for press, communications. Press 1 for press and communications. Press 2 for commercial partnerships and marketing. Press star.
Hello, press office.
Hello, good morning. I'm wondering now with the Carling Cup final coming up, if there's going to be an official song for the final, you know, like the old days.
A song? No, there won't be a song for the Carling Cup final. I think people only tend to do that for the FA Cup final, to be honest, but no, we don't have a song.
Well, I wrote a song, if you'd like it. No, oh, I okay. Think it. Do you want to hear it?
Sure, go for it.
Okay. Spurs are in the final. And we're gonna lose, because we are wankers.
That's a great song.
Do you like it?
It's very good, thank you very much.
Oh, it's very catchy, you know.
I think it might take off.
Would you like me to send you the CD?
Well, that's a really bad line. I can't hear you very well then.
I'll send you the CD.
I'll look forward to it.
All right, there's a remix.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Drink from me.
So, Carling Cup final. Yeah, well, who do you want to win that? Nobody, you see. It's a cunts convention of the highest order. Cunts in red against cunts in white. And, yeah, let's not talk about it anymore, because who cares? My favourite story of the week since the last Arscast was Emmanuel Adebayor, who had an amazing F-word bust-up with an Arsenal fan at an airport, apparently. According to The Sun, this was last Saturday. The guy said he was giving Adebayor all this stick about how he should try harder, and Adebayor tried to laugh it off while sipping, I don't know what, some very expensive drink, perhaps a cup of liquid gold. Because he earns a lot of money, you see. And the guy said, you get paid £80,000 a week to put the ball in the back of the net and you're still fucking rubbish. I pay good money for a season ticket to pay your wages. The guy said Emmanuel completely lost it and had a right go back. He said, I get £110,000 a week if you must know. Probably a big cup of gold, all right. It just made the guy even more angry. If it wasn't for security dragging him away, it could have got a lot worse. I wonder who it was that got dragged away. Adebayor or the guy? The screaming guy? The shouting man? Maybe Adebayor completely lost his temper and wanted to kill him. He took out his gun and shot. Guy could have just stood his ground, though. Probably would have gone wide.
Hello, everyone. I am writing this to you whilst sitting in a hot tub in the Beverly Hills Hotel. I was over here for the Oscars. Me and my mate Mickey Rourke. Man, the things we did to Kate Winslet just don't bear repeating. Woof, woof. I have been watching the football from afar. This really is a depressing season. I wonder to myself, how is it that this team can beat Chelsea, Man United and Roma, but struggle against shitty team cunt sacks like Sunderland? I applied all my mathematical and scientific thinking to it, and late one night, after a half bottle of Knob Creek and a shot of peyote, I came up with the answer. To say it shocked me was an understatement. How could I have been so blind? How could I not see what was right before my very eyes? I immediately knew I had to write it down to keep it safe. Otherwise, due to the booze, drugs, and underlying medical condition, I would forget it and the great pearl of wisdom would be lost for all time. So I made my way into my office, opened my computer, hooked up my Zeeble to the flanger and inputted the data with my mechanical gimpler. Hurrah, I thought. Now when I wake up tomorrow, I will be able to take this answer out into the world and make Arsenal great again. Lo and behold, I woke up the next morning with quite the hangover. Thankfully, I can only feel the headache. I filled my bag, read the Daily Star, and went to discover the secret. If my hands could shake, they'd have been shaking as I fired up the computer, clicked on the file titled Arsenal Answer, and then I read. It said, too much cunt. Not enough cunt. Tonight I'm drinking the rest of that whiskey and smoking a shitload of opium. Maybe it'll make sense then. Oh yes.
We'll have more from Arsene Wenger-Hawkins on Arscast in the very near future. Now, we've got a game tomorrow against Fulham. And as we said earlier, it's a game we need to win. The team news is as follows. The main question mark is about Diaby, revealed Arsene Wenger in his exclusive interview with Arsenal TV Online. I think that could be, you know, if you're a computer programmer or what have you, you could do a macro for that, couldn't you? Diaby is out. Diaby makes comeback. Diaby set for spell on sidelines. The guy really is just so either unfortunate with injuries or he just is a walking injury. Arsene Wenger said he rushed him back a little bit. But, you know, every time he plays for 3 or 4 games, he's out for 4 or 5 more. And it's a shame because you can see that, you know, in the current Arsenal squad, he would make a difference. But how can you plan around a guy that you just have no idea if he can stay fit? Because he hasn't managed to stay fit for any prolonged period since he had that terrible injury at Sunderland when Dan Smith smashed him up into little bits. And I suppose that's why we've got to be really cautious with Eduardo as well. After spending that length of time out, maybe all those bits and pieces break down, you know? So that's the situation with Diaby. So he's out. He could be back for the game on Tuesday against West Brom, it seems. Everybody else is all right. Arsene Wenger reckons that Walcott and Eduardo and then Adebayor will be the order of players coming back. So beyond that, you've got Fabregas still out, of course, and Rosicky, of course, and Mikhail Silvestre, who many of us had completely forgotten about, which is no bad thing. So after the Fulham game, which I do hope we'll win, at home, and in desperate need of points, because I think it's Villa are the team that we're going to have to catch. We've got a game against West Brom then on Tuesday night. So we're playing West Brom away, and we're playing Fulham. So you would expect to get 6 points from those. Villa are playing Stoke at home on Sunday, and then they are playing Manchester City away on Wednesday. So if I was to be hopelessly optimistic, you might say that City could beat them and Stoke could maybe hold them to a draw. Although I fancy Villa to beat Stoke. So if we win our games and Villa happen to slip up against City, then, you know, we could get 3 points back on them. But I think Villa have made it very, very clear where their priorities lie. They went out of the UEFA Cup last night, having put out a second-string team. I think that's a pretty good indication that Martin O'Neill is just saying, fuck the UEFA Cup. We've got a chance to qualify for the Champions League, and we're damn well going to do it. We've got 6 points on Arsenal. Why waste our time in this fucking Mickey Mouse of a competition? Which is what it is. Make no mistake about that. So, that's where Villa's focus is going to be. There are only 12 games left in the season. 6 points behind Villa. All things going well this time next week, we might be 3 points behind them. That's dependent on us winning our games, and that's dependent on Villa dropping some points along the way. So fingers crossed for all that, but you just don't know with this Arsenal team how they're going to go or what they're going to do or when they're going to do it. And, you know, it sounds a terrible cliche, but the only thing consistent about us is our inconsistency. So anyway, we'll leave it there for this week, I think, and we'll be back next week with another Arsecast, looking ahead to the, I think it's the FA Cup, actually, next weekend on Sunday against Burnley. So we'll look ahead to that game and review everything else that's gone on. So fingers crossed, it's all good. Big happy Arsecast next week. So until then, take it easy. Talk to you on the blog. Cheers, bye-bye.
Hello, I am the penis of William Gallas, and for some time I have been involved in a war, a standoff, if you will, with the penis of Colo Touré. He has told everybody what he thinks of me, and now the perception is that the penis of William Gallas is no better than the penis of Jean-Claude Darcheville. And nobody wants to be compared to the penis of Jean-Claude Darcheville, let me tell you. However, just the other day I was involved in some personal business and there was a knock at the door. I opened it and there was a penis of Colo Touré. What do you want? I said. I'm really, really sorry, he said. What? I said, what did you say? He said, I'm really, really sorry. What kind of wheel are you talking about? A bicycle wheel? A tractor wheel? What kind of wheel? No, he said, I'm really, really sorry. Look, I said, you start speaking clearly or this thing is going to get physical. I apologize, he said. Oh, I said, okay, well, why did you not say this earlier? So, says the penis of Colo Touré, now that we are friends, How about I come over there and help you slip into something a bit more comfortable? Okay, I said, but she mentions that Ashley is coming back at 9. We don't have much time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.